You're listening to the Jefferson Exchange on JPR. I'm Vanessa Finney. Most states in the U.S. designate a prominent poet residing in the state as their poet laureate to act as an ambassador of the art form, including California and Oregon, where a portion of the Oregon Cultural Trust grant funds is set aside for the program. Oregon's poet laureate is given four main missions: fostering the art of poetry, of course, encouraging literacy and learning, addressing central issues relating to humanities and heritage, and reflecting on public life in Oregon. The state's current poet laureate is Anis Mojgani, and he joined us now for the second time in the exchange. Anis, welcome back.
Hi, Vanessa. Thanks for having me.
So you were first appointed to this two-year term in the spring of 2020. And at that time, you came on to JPR as a guest and mentioned that you felt some trepidation about taking on essentially an outreach role in such strange times. But you also said you felt curious to see how it could unfold in new creative ways. So since then, you've really hit your stride in the position. So how are you feeling now about this huge undertaking, how it's unfolding under difficult circumstances?
I don't know. I think one of the strange, interesting, and unfortunate aspects of the pandemic is just like how it constantly shifts and changes. And there's such an ebb and flow to what our relationship to the pandemic is, I think, both societally and then also like individually and personally. And that seems to be consistently shifting and changing. So I wouldn't say like trepidation at this juncture, but it definitely is sort of like still me kind of trying to figure out what's the way to do this role in the manner that like feels exciting and connected to the person and the poet and artist that I am, while also it seeking to do what I'm hoping to do in the position, while also still dealing with that ebb and flow of this pandemic. But like that being said, one of the things that I do find really exciting right now, like as you mentioned just now about hitting one stride, I definitely feel more situated in the role at this juncture. I would hope so. And there definitely is like a rejuvenated excitement, I think. While the pandemic isn't behind us, you know, it is in a shifting place. And so that there is a bit more of a conversation, I think, that is able to happen as to like how events and in-person events and outreach is able to happen amongst communities. And so that definitely feels a lot more comfortable and a lot more easy. A lot easier. I don't even know if easier is the word, but just like allows me to be a bit more at ease, I think, in the position to like have a conversation with different communities across the state to see what we might be able to put together. And I'm also a person that sometimes takes a while to get into one's groove. And so I've definitely felt a bit of a creative hibernation during the pandemic and have felt a bit of breaking in the earth over this past spring, both physically and metaphorically. So there's an aspect where in recent months I definitely just feel very much tapped into what it means to ask myself the questions of like, what are you doing artistically? What are you doing creatively? What are the ways in which you wish to converse with your imagination through this appointment? And so that has felt really, really good for that to be in sync with for where we're at this juncture in the pandemic.
Right. And I should mention that because of the challenges of the pandemic, which we're feeling across all sectors of society, the governor did extend your term for another 2 years. So that's fortunate, considering you feel like you take a little while to hit your stride. What are some ways that you are facilitating poetry, entering our daily lives, as you've said, in your role? You have a couple of programs, window readings, the telephone poetry line.
Yes. So in the this past spring, I, with the aid of a friend of mine, put together a telephone poetry line. So for the month of April, folks are able to call this number and be greeted with a poem from different poet laureates. So the first week I had recordings of poems from Paul Ann Peterson, and then that was followed by Kim Stafford, and that was followed by Elizabeth Woody, and then that was followed by myself. And it was a really lovely endeavor it was fun for me to put together with my friend Ali, and it was really lovely to get to kind of bear witness to not simply the responses from people across the state and from outside of the state as well, but I think also the ways in which they shared their excitement. I was saying in another interview that the best way that I could describe it was it felt as if people were very tickled by the telephone line. And so that happened for the month of April, and hoping to either do it again or find another incarnation of it sometime over this next year. And it might be again, just sort of like for the month of for National Poetry Month next April. Mm-hmm. But if there's a way for me to kind of like build this telephone line to be a bit longer, I'm going to try to do that. Though currently one can still call the number and listen to the last poem from the last day. Like it's still active, so to speak. And then a little bit before I started doing the phone line.
Actually, can I stop you right there and get that phone line?
Let me look it up right quick.
Oh, I should warn you to have a resources page available.
Heck yeah.
If you're just joining us on the Jefferson Exchange, I'm Vanessa Finney, and I'm speaking with Oregon's poet laureate, Anis Mushgani.
So, the one can still call the number, which is 503-928-7008.
Thank you. And you were about to describe some of your window readings.
Oh, yeah. So with the window readings, I have a art studio that I go to do work in. Not far from where I live in Southeast Portland. And one day I was having a conversation through the window with my friend Jen. And she was like, why don't you read poems from this window? I was like, all right, let's do that. And so we started doing every 2-3 weeks, just kind of whenever we felt like doing it. We invited folks to come join as I would read poems at sunset from out the window. People would pull up chairs or blankets or just stand on the sidewalk and in the street. And I would do poems at sunset out the window. And some evenings I've invited other performers to do work, largely musicians. A couple weeks ago, a close friend of mine, Derek Brown, who's a poet, was coming through Portland. So I invited him to share poems as well. And it's been a really wonderful and lovely experience, I think. Some evenings we've had 50 folks, some evenings we've had 250 folks.
Wow.
And it just sort of depends. And it's just been a really lovely way, I think, for one, me to rejuvenate in myself a connection to my own individual community, both like in the neighborhood that I live in and the city that I live in and the artistic community that I'm a part of. And two, also being able to create a space for gathering, something that has been without, for 2.5 years in the ways in which we as people are used to gathering. I think that gathering is a fairly large part of what it means to be human, of what it means to be part of humanity. And, so I do think that that aspect of the pandemic that has halted how we gather, on small levels. I had a friend visit me in my living room the other day, and I was like, I don't know when was the last time I had somebody like sit in my living room with me, and then also larger ways of just like, how do we sit together in spaces with people we know and don't know? And so that's a really large part of what is behind doing this window series of giving people a place to be, and a place to be that is separate of like doing something. A big thing behind what me and my friend Jen want this gathering to encompass is for it to not feel like any type of transactional thing. I think that there's, you know, we in the world and society that we live in, so many things are kind of relegated to a binary, that it's either this or it's this. And I think that that includes things of the performance nature, that a thing is either like not a performance or it is a performance. But what if there is something that is like in between that? And that's something that I'm very interested in exploring with the Window series, of what does it mean for me as a person who creates art that needs an audience and wants an audience and requires an audience for some sort of artistic and imaginative dialogue between the artist and the audience. And what does it mean to invite that audience in, but also relinquish them from having any type of responsibility of having to, quote unquote, participate in any given manner, and instead just be able to kind of like sit there and be in the same space as a thing that I'm saying aloud. And so, you know, it not having to be something that someone has to give me something, and thus I give them something. Instead, it is something that is happening with us at the same time. And so that's just been a really lovely and I think beautiful thing for me to be able to like be a part of.
Again, I'm speaking with Anis Mojgani, Oregon's current poet laureate on the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Vanessa Finney. And Anis, when you say it's in a gray area, the window readings, is part of that because it's in sort of a casual, everyday setting?
But partially, you know, definitely, you know, like, well, it's interesting, because so I mentioned my friend Jen, who I put this on with, and Jen, on a tactile level, you know, like, she almost serves as sort of like a producer or stage manager of the affair, but also not really in that capacity. But essentially, like, what the day of looks like is her checking in to see like, what do I need, what do we need to do, and then she shows up at the appropriate time, and we start putting chairs out on the sidewalk and putting the additional accoutrements of this setting that we create, and that's really it. And so I was saying to her, she was out of town a month or so ago, and I was weighing whether to do a window show while she was gone. And one of the things that I was feeling is like, it just doesn't feel like a show if you're not there. And that sounded kind of strange, because all the things that she like physically does for the show are things that could happen without her being there. And like, she's not part of the quote unquote show itself. She doesn't read poems. She doesn't do anything of that ilk. But there is something that having that person, part of the creation of what it is that we're doing, takes it from, like, it felt basically that if Jen was not there doing what Jen does, then it just sort of felt like a random guy reading poetry out of his window. And which is a great and beautiful thing, but it's not like what I'm trying to do. I'm not just sort of like, oh, let me just like read some poems and whoever stops, stops and listens. But nor am I like seeking to create a space that is like, all right, we're gonna like section off this part of the city, and at this certain time, people will come and sit in these seats, and they'll sit there and wait for like whoever is going to do their song and dance, do their song and dance, and then they're all going to get up and go home, and in this very relegated fashion. And nor do I want that. Like, I want it to exist in this gray area of it being something that basically like asks a person, and I include myself in that. You know, this has been like a learning experience for me, asking all of us who are participating, what does it mean to engage with an artistic act? What does it mean to engage with performance? What does it mean to engage with a show? What does it mean to engage with a space and a gathering of people coming together for a communal interaction? And so, like, I definitely want the thing to exist in sort of a gray area. Because I think there's, at least here in Portland, you know, that there's an aspect where, what it has revealed to me is that it also has shades of what are the ways in which that we as people are able to have more ownership of the communities that we are part of? What are the ways in which we're able to have more ownership of the cities that we live inside of? And so if there's things that are happening in gray areas, it then kind of asks us to be of a bit more participative self, if that makes sense. That as opposed to being told like, oh, you will step into this theater and see a theatrical show, or you will stay at home and not go to a theatrical show. But what happens if you just sort of step into the street, a block from your house, and see people sitting there, listening to something together? Oh, is that something that then becomes a different kind of theater? Is that then something that I want to see more of inside of the city that I live in? Am I allowed to like create these same spaces inside of the city that I live in? So I think like having that gray area is a really beautiful thing for me as an artist, but it's also something that I would hope like spins a question in people's heads, like what am I allowed to participate in? What am I allowed to create for myself? And that's really what I would love to be happening.
Right, by not cordoning off on sort of a formal stage, not stage and stage, it sort of democratizes art. When you remove the gatekeepers at venues, anybody can present this to a public and draw a gathering.
100%. And it's not even that like I want just this. It's like I love venues, like I love spaces where
Sure.
things are being created and spaces where things are being shared. And at the same time, I think that there is, because that was the thing at the start of the pandemic, the thing that I think maybe we had talked about when I was on the show prior was what are the ways in which that the pandemic might require me as an artist to like discover and create new modes of creative spaces, since the spaces that I generally would have access to perform inside of, I no longer had access to perform inside of. And so what are the ways in which we can expand those ideas so that there are quote unquote proper venues, but also maybe something that's a bit more ragtag and a bit more immediate, and a bit more just part of the fabric of our everyday life.
Daily existence. If you're just joining us, I'm Vanessa Finney, and I'm talking with Oregon's poet laureate, Anis Mojgani. Anis, could you read from your poetry for us? We have a gathering of listeners right now for you.
Sure. I'll share, since we were talking about different projects, there was a project that was intended for last summer, an event here in Portland called Paseo. And it wasn't able to happen in the way that they originally intended because of COVID. But they were able to envision it more in line with that this summer, just a few weeks ago. And so as part of that, like the festival was centered on the idea of the relationship between cities and strolls, evening walks, hence the name Paseo, which is to my understanding a Spanish word meaning evening stroll. And so as part of that, I created a poem that was separated into 24 sections and strung up on banners along this walkway in downtown Portland. And so I was going to share that with you all now. Dipping in sunset with a sip of the sky, mouthful of dusk, and the becoming starlight. Any courage of yours, the day has waned, may its jug be refilled by night drawing in. Who knew? With the sun still sinking like a soap bubble, that this is what it would look like when everyone here was hurting this much, and at the same time, like a cluster of stars, we are come together in their brightness. A northern mockingbird atop the phone pole, unspooling its song, harking the lark of night to fold beneath the eye of the moon, silver-rimmed lid winking itself to me. Watch the flowers of the morn. How they open to the same sun that spends its whole day following you into this eve. When in the gloaming, pinching a snapdragon into color, I watch a blooming, even when already bloomed. Flowers loosening themselves like silk, falling from the neck into the dark that approaches, their perfume lifting from their shoulders. Into the air, a smell somewhere between honeysuckle remembered and rose water stirred with sugar boiling on the stove. This world offering its blossoms to me as if spring had been a thread that unraveled the trees in such manner that makes their bleeding not a letting of life, but rather a bursting of it. How can one not fall in love on a night like this? How can I not see how the earth is in love with me, in love with you, with any of us? Evening, can you show me how to hold without touch? My fingers twine with yours to hang a necklace of petals beneath your chin, somewhere between earth and cloud. Do not forget the wild scent of your sweet, soft, and learning, powerful heart. Do not forget the yellow of your heart's flowers, the purple of its dusk. Go walk at dusk when the sky has sunk to the color of a grapefruit undressed. May your heart hold space for a moment or two of peace, as mine does, when looking up into the day, softening into night, as three crows above me pick up a fourth to weave their wings across the becoming moon, a calming, with the daylight clinging like leaves in September and the night singing like ghosts in August, with the sky the color of a departure and the land the color of a beginning, with the opera of the dark surrounding, sing soft or aloud the quiet songs of your youth and thus perhaps gentle your heart a lantern swinging on a windless night, your heart a conspirator with the dawn to make you better than you were the day before, your heart a flock of meadowlarks splitting the evening with song, your hearts flying like one body made out of many small feathered ones.
Such beautiful imagery. Anis, thank you for sharing your work and your time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
I'm Vanessa Finney, and I've been talking with Oregon's poet laureate, Anis Mojgani. You can learn more about his work and life at thepianofarm.com.